I would like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read you verses 10 through 13. The title of our Bible study this evening is Salvation Motivates Us Towards Missions. It is salvation that motivates us towards missions. As I gave you that testimony about John and I witnessing that this gentleman who's down in the nursing home in Middlebury, I think he's probably around 50 years old, and the thing that motivated his mom to reach out to us is salvation. She didn't really want us to go down and just comfort him or chat with him. She really wanted us to share salvation with him. And so when we look at this text here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10, 13, we see how that salvation has motivated us as Christians. If we've received Christ and if we have eternal life and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we are compelled to share that message with those around us that they too might have the hope of salvation. Starting from our Jerusalem, going all the way around the world. So listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And I'll read one more verse. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we look at these verses here, we find the scriptures reminding us that when we start talking about salvation, we're talking about something prophesied of old, coming all the way up to us, and linking into eternity. So we're going to go back here and we're going to look at verses 10 and 12. And I want you to see how that salvation itself was a wonder to the Old Testament saints. For them, they couldn't quite see clearly the picture of the coming Messiah, the Savior, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. They couldn't quite see that picture clearly, even though the prophets were prophesying of it. Even the prophets themselves were searching and seeking. Look again with me what it says in verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. And that is interesting for you and I to understand that the prophets of old, they so desired to understand the full concept of God's salvation that they themselves would go through the Old Testament texts, the Pentateuch, the prophets. They would search and look to fully understand salvation. You and I today, we look back in hindsight and we can see Christ on the cross. We can understand the shed blood, the price paid by God who left heaven above for the sins of all mankind. But they were seeing everything in pictures. They're going to either the tabernacle or to the temple. They're giving blood sacrifices and having that sprinkled upon the altar. All these pictures and all this imagery pointing to the sacrifice that would be paid for sins. John chapter 5 verse 39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Christ," or of me, he said. Jesus told the contemporaries of his day, he said, go back, search your scriptures, search that Old Testament. You'll find where the prophets prophesied of salvation. They prophesied of the coming Christ. It's interesting when we look at that verse 10, that he's trying to stir them to consider and contemplate this truth, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Then look at the second half of verse 10. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Even though they themselves were looking at it through pictures and imagery, at the same time, they're penning and preaching the prophecies of the coming Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith, talking about all these patriarchs, all these biblical figures who passed on before us. It's saying these folks passed on. They have moved on. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They did not have yet that full understanding. Their salvation rested in so much, yes, by faith, but so much was blindly by faith. You and I, we see the gospel. We understand the gospel. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land, in this earth. They understood that they were just passing through. They understood that God was paying a price for their sins. They understood that they needed to humble themselves and lay their sins at the foot of the tabernacle, at the foot of the place of sacrifice. They understood that they were looking forward into something far off coming. And they just believed by faith. They believed and trusted in God. And you and I, we still do the same. But the difference is we look back with such clarity, whereby they looked through such shadow to see and understand. It's interesting when we look at the very last part of verse 10. It says, who prophesied of the grace that should come to who? Unto us. He says, prophesied for this grace that would come unto you. You and I who are holding this book and reading these words and reading these pages. He's saying these prophets of old, all these prophets in the Old Testament there, the lion's share of your Bible. He says these prophecies were given for who? For you. That you and I today would be able to look back and read. That these believers of their day would be able to look back and read and see what God had for them. As we go on, look at what he says in verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did testify or signify. So we understand that all of this transpired. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Remember, Christ said, yes, I depart, but I send another, even unto you, unto like unto me, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. So that Spirit, even all the way back with the prophets. So when you start reading about the Holy Spirit in old, remember, that Holy Spirit's the same Holy Spirit of the New Testament, the same Holy Spirit that dwells within you, that part of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's phenomenal to read through your Bible and see how God weaves the Trinity into all the truths that you and I hold so dear. So he tells them, he says, I want you to understand the Spirit stirred and moved in these prophets of old to pen and to preach about the coming salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. That still motivates us today to share the gospel. Look with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. You don't have to go far. It's not going to wear you out searching your Bible. You're in 1 Peter. Go to 2 Peter and look with me at chapter 1, verses 19 down through 21. And listen to what it says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So as we read these words penned to you and I in the scriptures given to us by God, he tells us, he's saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You and I today, we're able to look and see the light in a dark place, and we can look for the very Spirit of Christ to arise within our hearts and our souls when we receive that salvation. So it was Tuesday that John went down and sat down and gave this gentleman the gospel, and he prayed silently because he can't talk. It was just a few days before that I had sat down and talked to him about salvation. And he saw a more sure word of prophecy. He saw that light of the day star of Christ arise in his heart as he came to understand that Jesus died for his sins and wanted to give him eternal life. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. You can be anybody who will just take the simple gospel and share it with your children, your grandchildren. But if they're never exposed, they will never know. You and I have a responsibility. That's what missions is about, is taking this prophecy of old, this gift of salvation, and sharing it with our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, our grandparents, our grandchildren, anybody who will hear, anybody that the Holy Spirit stirs and moves us to share, that they too might see that day star arise within their hearts, that they too might come to understand the gift of salvation. It's interesting when we go back to our text, go with me if you would, back to 1 Peter. And again, I'm not going to make you go a long ways, just a little bit, a couple pages back. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look there with me if you would. And I want you to go down a little farther in verse 11. Listen to what he goes on to say. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, while it was hard for the apostles to understand, was not hidden in the prophecies of old. When you go to Isaiah, when you go to those prophetic texts, you find the suffering Savior. You find the sacrifice that God brought forth for your soul and my soul. And so he tells them, he says, it's there, testified beforehand, the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. It's there if you will search the scriptures. Now, you and I have the privilege of going to the New Testament, where it's laid out to us so clear and plain. You come down to verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost. It is interesting that these truths were prophesied of so that they would be revealed to you and I. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 says, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, these things were given so that you and I, the church, that we might understand the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must never lose the understanding that the gift of salvation is the eternal purpose of God. We might look around the world and we might think to ourselves, oh, the Grand Canyon is so inspiring. Or you might go out and you look at the Rocky Mountains as you go drive into Colorado. When I pastored in Kansas, I took the kids to youth camp in Colorado. And as we're driving across the plains of Kansas,
all of a sudden you could see, it almost looked like clouds in the sky. And the closer you got, you realized what we were looking at was the tops of the Rocky Mountains. It was just amazing. You might look at that and say, that is the most inspirational thing. Or maybe if you're a person who grew up in Kansas, maybe just stepping on the beach and looking across the ocean and seeing the arch of the earth as it goes across the water, you might say, that's so inspiring. But the Bible says the most amazing, miraculous, majestic thing is the salvation that God offered through Jesus Christ. That is his purpose. That is why he came. That is the miraculous gift of God to all people. When you come down through this text, listen again to verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, those Old Testament prophets, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that amazing that the angels themselves, they look at the gift of salvation and they look at that and they say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Why would God leave heaven, suffer and die on the cross for somebody like Tim Taylor? The angels look at that and they say, that is beyond us. That is wild, isn't it? And they look at you, and they look at your children and your grandchildren, and the angels just stand in wonder. And they look and it's perplexing to them. But it is the mercy and grace of God that compels him to reach out to sinners such as ourselves. It's what motivates us towards world missions. The fact that God died on the cross because he loved humanity so much that he was willing to pay the price for their sins. Look with me down at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. So somebody tell me, when you see that wherefore word, what's that do? What's that make you do in the Bible? Anybody?
Okay. Try to find out what it's there for.
Yeah, it means look back, think about what you just read, because of that is what I'm getting ready to say to you now. So he's telling us, because the mystery and the wonder of the prophets of old preaching and teaching salvation, because of that, he's telling us, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he tells us, gird up. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. In other words, part of the whole armor of God is girding up with the truth of God in our lives. Pull up that armor that you might be ready to fight the good fight, that you might be able to stand strong for the cause of Christ. He goes a little farther down in verse 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your what? Of your mind. You got to put a little thought into it. Sometimes Christians put way too little thought into the gospel and how to share the gospel and how to be prepared to give the gospel. When I asked John to do the follow-up from me going down to visit this gentleman, I said to him, now, John, all you need to do is go down and give him the plan of salvation. And I was fully confident John could do that. Could I have called you? Could I have called you on the phone and said, listen, I've already met with this guy. I've already talked to him. He is ready, but he just needed to think about it. Would you just go down and share salvation with this gentleman? Have we all in this room put enough time and thought into the gift of salvation that we could have sat at that guy's bedside and simply opened the Bible and showed him how to put his faith and trust in Christ? So verse 13 challenges us, doesn't it? Salvation does motivate us for missions. Does it motivate us for our neighbor, our friend? It's very easy for us to put money in the offering plate and to pay for a missionary to go or to hire a pastor. But he's really not writing to pastors and preachers. He's writing to regular folk. He's writing to people like you and me. He's saying we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to think about this, get serious about this. The very next word he uses is be sober. He's not really talking about alcohol, although certainly we understand that sobriety should be a very real part of your Christianity. But he is challenging us to be the opposite of drunk, to be clear-minded. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You see, that's our calling. Our calling is not all the craft beer and all the unique, weird wines. Our calling is not to go to all the distilleries and test taste all the different new crazy highball mixes that are out there in the world. No, our calling is to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's our calling. And so he tells us, he says, you and I, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. It means be clear-headed, be serious. Be serious about what's going on. The lady who called the church, called my house, reached out to Sandra Joe. She was serious about somebody going down to talk to her son, who does not have a long time left in this world. She was sober about this. She wanted to make sure I got the message. How serious are we about sharing the truth of salvation to others? As you go a little farther down in verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You and I should be a people who are full of hope, looking for God's hand to be at work. Sometimes we get way too discouraged. I took my little granddaughter, who just turned 4, fishing this summer. Now, she begged her mom. Because I had taken the big brothers fishing, she thought, because when they talk about going fishing, it sounds fun. So I got her a little fishing pole. Joy came over. We went out on the boat. She casted once. I showed her, well, you get, because it didn't go well that first cast. I mean, it's, you're not going to catch anything in the bottom of the boat. So you got to get it out there a little bit. So she casted it out there the second time. In about 30 seconds, she said, this is too hard. I don't like this. I said, well, you're going to be patient. You got to wait a little bit. No, this is too hard. I don't like this. And you know, some of us are very much like that. Our hope wanes way too quick. We share our faith with maybe a coworker or a friend, and because they don't jump right on it, or maybe it takes a year, or maybe 5, maybe 10 or 15. We lose hope and we lose our patience. And it's not fun. Really, what God is saying to you and I, he's saying, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You and I, we have to keep on keeping on and sharing the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not until the very end that we will know. When you get to heaven, there may be people there who you never imagined received Christ. You didn't even know. You shared the faith with them. You didn't know. You didn't know that maybe they walked away from you, and on their way away, they prayed and asked Christ to come into their hearts. I've sat down, you know, my dad was absolutely vehemently opposed to what I do. He did not like that I was a preacher of the gospel. Although when he got older, he was proud of the fact that of what I had, in his mind, done and accomplished. But the idea of the gospel offended him. He just wanted nothing to do with it. And I've had people say to me, well, doesn't it really bother you that your dad went to hell? And I tell them, I said, well, I have no idea whether my dad went to hell. Because even when he couldn't, even when he was laying in his bed before he died, as I talked to him, I would share, Dad, you know you can receive Christ as your Savior. And he might wave me off, but there's no way for me to know in his last fleeting moments if he didn't humble himself and cry out to God. So do I anguish and anguish about his eternity? I can't change his eternity. But I can have that lingering corner of hope in my heart and my soul that maybe somewhere, sometime, he did humble himself and put his faith in Christ. And that's exactly what I tell people who they lose hope and they get discouraged. Listen, you need to hope unto the end. Our hope is an eternal hope. And when we get to glory, there will be people there who we are absolutely amazed they're there. And there will probably be people who aren't there who will be shocked that they're not. But what we have to do is what God called us to do. And that is the mission work. The mission work of sharing salvation with a neighbor, a friend, or around the world. We all have to do our part. Whether we're at work, whether we're at our kitchen table, whether we're teaching a Sunday school class, whether we're visiting a friend at the hospital, we do that mission work. And then also, we invest in others who are doing the work too, so that they can keep on keeping on. You know, one of the things we want to never forget is through missions, the lights never go out for Victory Baptist Church. Because here in Vermont, while we may all go to bed, our missionaries are on the other side of the world just getting up. They're about the master's business while you and I are snoozing away. And when we get up, they're laying down to rest. But a new dawn dawns here too for the work of Christ. Your little preschool teachers down here, they're doing Bible songs with boys and girls and planting the seed of hope and faith into the hearts of little 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Your Awana teachers, your teen teachers, your adult Sunday school teachers, your preachers. But you too. You too. Let's use our minds. Take a gospel track on your way out tonight. God's simple plan of salvation. In there is the whole plan of salvation. It's right in the gospel track out there. Track rack. It'll show you all the verses you can use to share salvation with somebody. Take it. Put it in your pocket. Get it out. Read it. Learn and memorize those verses. That we with our mind might be able to share eternal hope. That's my lesson for tonight. What motivates us to missions? Salvation. The same salvation that we have, we want to share with the world.